Luke 9.
This is the transfiguration because I can't get off of it. He brought me back to it. Basically, what's happening, Luke 9 captures a whole lot of it. We'll just read it. Verse 28, it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment was white and glistering. The other translations give a better picture of that. It says his face shine like the sun, the same way John saw him in the book of Revelation, his resurrected state, and his clothing became bright like no fuller's soap could make it bright white. Basically what happened is he entered into glorification. He entered into the resurrection, his own resurrection, before its time. And behold, there talked to him two men, which were Moses and Elijah. They were the law and prophets. They were bearing a witness of the resurrection. They were there bearing the witness. And it says they appeared in glory with him. They appeared with him in that resurrection and spake of his decease that were accomplished in Jerusalem. They were talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. And Peter and they that were with him were heavy with deep sleep. This was that sleep put on by the glory of God. I call it the trance state or the dream state. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass as they departed, Peter said to him, Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Not knowing what he said. And while he thus spake, while he was speaking, that cloud that was over the Lord, that cloud came and overshadowed them. The other translation was a bright glowing cloud. And they feared as they what? As they entered in to that same resurrection. They were entering in. That's pretty powerful. They were all caught up in an encounter of things to come. And we saw that the Father actually translated the Lord into his own resurrection. And so I meditate, and the Lord brings me back to this again yesterday, and I'm meditating, and it's like I wasn't getting what he wanted me to see. He goes, do you understand what's going on here? I said, well, I think I do. I've preached it like three times now. He said that Jesus was entering into his own promise before its time. Everyone has a promise. His promise was the Father would resurrect him. He knew he was going to go to the cross from day one. His promise was the Father's going to come and resurrect him. And when he resurrects him, he's going to set him as the king up on the holy hill of Zion. And the Father was going to reassign all the earth, everything, and the full inheritance would be given him. But he had to be resurrected. So he's standing in his own promise before it actually happened. Isn't that amazing? So you go to Genesis, go over to Genesis, because these promises were 4,000 years old. Say 4,000 years. I mean, he's standing in a 4,000-year-old promise, makes our promises, because one of the things the Lord's having us do is move in before it actually, the time happens. We have to move into the things of God before their time, exactly like he did. This is the precedence for all of it right here. I mean, it's the crowning precedence to move into a future state of promise with God before it happens. That's how he knew God was going to get him. When he was in hell, suffering for 3 days, he knew the Father was going to glorify him because he already glorified him. He had already glorified him beforehand. He knew God, the Father, was going to come get him. Isn't that awesome? So, Genesis 22, I mean, you got to think about it. He entered his promise before its time. That's what the Alpha and Omega does. We enter into the promise, and you can catch things there and receive things. When God does that, he can bring them back with you. That faith will always remain with you once you enter into it. See, the faith will always be there. Genesis 22, verse 16, he said, by myself, here's a 4,000-year-old promise here. By myself I've sworn to myself, Father swearing to his son, this very son that you're seeing resurrected on the Mount of Transfiguration. Because thou hast done this thing, thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I'll bless thee, and multiplying I'll multiply thy seed. Say thy seed. I'll multiply thy seed as what? The stars of the heaven. Say the stars of the heaven. And the sand of the seashore, and thy seed will possess the gates of his enemies. Now Galatians tells us thy seed is not seeds at plural, but seeds at singular, which is Christ. He says specifically, he's speaking of Christ here in Galatians 3. He says not seeds as of many, but as seeds as of one, which is Christ. He was specifically saying that when he mentioned seed to Abraham, he was speaking to Christ and his seed. Amen? So if you put that in there, that this thing, thou was not without a son, thou was son in blessing, I will bless thee in multiplying, I'll multiply Christ as the stars of heaven, as the sand of this, that's upon the seashore, and Christ shall what? Possess the gates of his enemy. Say possess. That's how he possessed the gates and he took the keys of death and hell. So for this promise, in thy seed, which is Christ, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now he's speaking directly to his son through Abraham's loins when he's swearing to Abraham, I swear to my son in your loins, I'm going to do this. So for this promise to be fulfilled, this is not speaking of the Immaculate Conception or his birth. This is speaking of his resurrection when he possesses the gates of the enemy and he takes the keys of death and hell. This had to come to pass. Amen? This verse was one of the original promises that God gave of Christ coming in the earth and him resurrecting him in the earth. Isn't that amazing? So he promises him the resurrection, and then as he promised the resurrection, this is what's happening on the Mount of Transfiguration. Christ is entering into his own promise before the time of his resurrection. That's called the Omega jurisdiction. That's called dwelling in him that is, who was, and dwelling what? In him that is to come. The Father moved him. I mean, it's just amazing. He had not paid the price for the cross. He had not suffered, and God passed him through all of that and resurrected him on that mount. He entered into his own resurrection. Isn't that amazing? That's some serious precedence for where we are in the last days with the Alpha and Omega, with the seven spirits of God. That's some serious precedence. If he entered into a 4,000-year-old promise, I'm sure we can enter into a 40-year promise. Amen? He moved past time and entered in. And God, when God glorified him that day, that was the very first sign that the Father was going to answer it, all of it. And I mean, he won it that day when he went into the glorification. I mean, that was it. It was done. He was glorified on that mountain. His clothing, his hair, his face, everything was lit up. The Bible says his face was like shining like a sun. And he entered into the glorification of what was to come. And the disciples saw that glory. They saw it for a moment. They saw it. And then Peter started talking. Chuck has some really good stuff on that. And as Peter began to talk about the tabernacles, that cloud came over them. That bright cloud overshadowed them, and they entered into the resurrection themselves. Because they were called what? To bear the witness of it. That means we can enter into our own promises. That actually, if you want to know the truth, is the faith of Abraham. That's what he did. Because when God told him, he goes, thy descendants would be as the stars of the heaven, the sand of the seashore. God was talking to things way beyond one birth. God does that. He talks to you way beyond your initial birth. He goes way beyond. He's talking to him about his descendants. He's talking about future generations to come as the stars of the heaven. And all Abraham had to do, his responsibility, was to give birth to one child supernaturally. Amen? The one child, and then God would do the rest. Amen? But God doesn't just speak about the one child, He talks to you about the future. Amen? And he wants you to go out there, and we've been trying forever to figure out how to do that, and now we're understanding how to move out, because God needed Abraham to dwell with the stars and the sand of the seashore. He needed that kind of faith in him. He needed to go out there and he needed to see way past where he was. Why? Because where he was confining him to death. He could not give birth. His bodily functions were dead. Sarah's was dead. He needed to get out from where he was. Amen? That's the faith of Abraham. You get out from where you are. Trying to exercise faith where you are, it's only always going to be limited, but God wants us to launch past where we are. Amen? get out in front. That's what the Lord was doing with his own. He was launching out in front. He was getting out where the resurrection was. Amen. Glory to God. And that's what God's wanting us to do, is get out into the birthing realm of God, out from the circumstances that we dwell in, into the birthing realm. Amen. Way out in front. It's okay to be out in front. Look at your neighbor and say, it's okay to be out in front. If you're with God. If you're with God, it's okay to be out there. That's what we're doing. We're getting out there. Praise God, because it's okay to move out if you're guided by promise, if you're guided by the Word. That's why He gives you things that are way out in front, because you can go out and dwell with Him as Omega. Amen? That's what He's training us for. This Mount of Transfiguration is one of the final precedences we need, because it is a summation amongst everything. We can dwell in our promise before our promise. And that is what God's looking for in this generation. To dwell in the promise before its time. That's what's going to cause everything to shift. That's what's going to cause everything to move to a new dimension. That's how you shift, by the way. You want to shift a generation, you got to move out in front of the generation. You write this down. You don't shift a generation by dwelling in the generation you're in. Because the generation you're in is already sealing. To shift the generation you're in, you got to get out into the next generation. Amen? And that's why God's doing this. You got to get out in front. So the greatest men and women of God that of all times are the ones out in front. Amen? They didn't dwell in their generation, the unbelief of their generation. They got out in front. Amen? That's what God's doing. Get out in front. You can do this. That's why the Word of God dwells in us. That's why God gives you vision. That's why He gives us words and gives us a promise. Amen? That's what the Lord was doing. He says, listen, I'm not where you are. I'm out in front. I'm out in front of the cross. I'm out in front of the sufferings. He was already out in front. That's why He could take on the sufferings, because He had already got out in front of it. Amen? They talk about in the world, you got to get in front of this. You got to get in front of this. You got to get out from where you are. Well, He got out of His own sufferings. He got out in front and received that glorification. That's what held Him when He was in the belly of hell suffering for 3 days and 3 nights. He held that resurrection because He had already known the Father's going to come and get Him. He already knew the promise the Father was going to multiply Him. The Father already did multiply Him. And when we can shift out from where we are into the next level, then the whole generation can shift. Amen? The Bible says a seed will serve Him in the last days, and it'll be counted for a whole generation. One seed, a seed of people get out in front, it'll be accounted for a whole generation. And God can bring the whole generation out in front. Why? Because the barriers are broken. The barriers are broken, not here. They're broken out in front. As we move out in front, we break the barriers. We break the barriers of unbelief. We come back with glory and say, it's possible. All things are possible. Why? We've been there. We're dwelling in it. That's what God wants us to move us into the next realm of glory. Into, instead of wait on for it to come, we just go to it. Amen? Because we know it's ours. We know it belongs to us. We know we are heirs, Father. We are heirs of the glory of God. We are heirs of the resurrection. We are heirs to the crown. We are heirs to dominion. We are heirs to the seven spirits of God. We are heirs to the seven inheritances. We already know what's coming. He's already shown us what's coming. We already know a white horse is running. And God's asking us to move out in front. And receive forerunner blessings. Yeah, praise God forever. Glory to God. Somebody's getting it on them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it's getting out front. Praise God. Breaking the barriers. Breaking the barrier of unbelief. I always wondered how Abraham did that. He got out in front of where he was. He got out in front of the unbelief that was holding him captive. He got out in front of it. He got out where God was at, where God was. Look at the stars. Look at the sand. Look out in front of you, Abraham. That's where your victory is. Look out in front. That's why He's told us about the white horse. That's why we know what's coming. We know there's an outpouring, but God has the forerunner crown. He said in the church of Philadelphia, I set before this church an open door, and no man can shut it. I set before you, and God is asking us to receive the forerunner blessing, the forerunner crown. So He can account it to the whole generation. You may not know everything I'm saying in that statement, but I know what I'm saying, praise God. And it requires we enter into our promise before we get to our promise. God requires we move out from where we are. Don't worry about where you're at right now. That's not where you're birthing from. That's not where the realm of the glory is where you're birthing from. It's all done in the Father. It's all in the Father's glory. That's where God translates you. Father, translate me into thine own self. We enter into the Father. You remove all limitation when you enter into the Father. That's why he said, I will they be with me. They may behold your glory, Father. Because he can take you back like he did Moses. He can take you forward like he did John. He can take you and translate you into his own self because the Father dwells in eternity and he can move you in himself. He moved Christ forward through the cross, through the suffering, into a 4,000 year promise, and he received the tangibility of that promise. He wasn't looking at the promise, he received it in his body, in his countenance, in his clothing. He received it, and Moses and Elijah bore witness, and the disciples bore witness. God had witnesses there of the old and the new, said, this is that. This is what I was speaking of. He entered into the tangibility of his own promise. We can do it. Look at your neighbor saying, you can do it. It's all in the Father. It's all in the Father. It's in the Father. Father, translate me into thine own self. I'm ready to pray. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to pray. Praise God.